Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation.
This computer. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful you are back for another episode. I really never take it for granted that you show up, that you listen, that you spend your time listening to the show, because really, you could be doing so many other things. And so I appreciate you supporting this podcast with your emails and your Apple Podcast star reviews, whatever the reviews are. Just be honest, it makes a difference and helps us reach more listeners. So thank you for showing up, for the incredible conversations that we are having this season on the show. I am super excited today for the conversation we're going to have. It's going to be really interesting. I've got a special guest. Her name is Estelle Galleon, and she is a personal trainer and life coach with a specialization in behavior change. And y'all know I love me some behavior change. She helps women fall in love with exercise. Can you imagine falling in love with exercise? What a concept. And she also helps women create healthy lifestyle changes so that they can have more energy, confidence, happiness, and freedom. And who doesn't want more of that? Now, she is originally from the Bay Area in California. She currently lives in Bend, Oregon, which, oh, y'all, we're going to talk about Bend. And she loves traveling anytime that she can. She also spent 6 years of her life living in Shanghai. And for those who don't know where that is, that's in China. So she taught kindergarten for 6 years living in Shanghai. And she thinks of herself as a teacher and a guide at heart. And she loves to guide women to find their own way within the health and fitness world. Now, while Estelle's primary methods of teaching involve laying foundations for long-term change and habit development, she also loves strength training and helping women gain confidence with weights at the gym. And let me tell you, she posted on her Instagram, which is linked below, her lifting an incredible amount of weights. I was impressed. And she was showing her progress. Y'all, I was impressed with the before. So strength training was the primary element that helped Estelle gain her own self-confidence and begin her own daily health practices. So she walks her walk, talks her talks, empowers and teaches and guides. And she believes that strength training, self-confidence, daily health practices, all the things that she does for her clients can really do the same for other women. So welcome, Estelle, to the Successful Diligence Show.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my goodness. What an introduction. I'm so excited to be on here and be like, just have a genuine and real conversation with you, because that's who you are. You're so genuine, real, authentic. I'm really looking forward to this.
This is going to be awesome. And listeners, you know, I keep it real and I love to bring authentic people who have value to share. And trust me, get your pen and paper out, because as always, there will be wisdom nuggets to gain and you might just learn something as well. So Estelle, for those who are getting to know you, who are not familiar with who you are, tell us a little bit about who you are, how you came to do the work you do, a little bit beyond the bio.
Okay. Wow. Okay. A little bit about who I am. So you already know that I live in Bend, Oregon. I lived in Shanghai for 6 years. I actually ended up moving there, I don't want to say on a whim. I like traveling. And I knew I wanted to live in another place. And I went there for a trip and I was like, this place is cool. And then I moved there. And previous to that, I really did not have an interest in China. I wasn't like disinterested. It just wasn't like an interest, you know, it was just neutral. I ended up totally falling in love with it. Actually, the only reason my husband and I came back is because of recent world events. We were on a plane to the States to visit our family, March 2020, and the borders closed while we were on the plane. Woohoo!
Oh so, my gosh.
Yeah, so that whole thing happened, and that was kind of scary, you know, like 6 years, you have your life somewhere else. Like you have a job, you have a community, you know, the vegetable lady, the egg man, you have a gym that you go to. It's like your whole life is there really. And at that point, no one really knew what was going on. So we kind of played the waiting game for a while. Cause we're like, maybe it'll open up and it's just all new, you know, like we haven't done this before. But with time, we were like, okay, this is kind of getting to be a long while. We don't really know when things might open up. We might be able to go back. So we decided to do a road trip around the States to, one, kill time, to figure out where we might not want to live if we want to, you know, if we have to live here. So yeah, we spent 4 months traveling around the States. We did Airbnb, we did hotel, we did motel, we did stay with friends, we did house sitting. House sitting was pretty cool. We tried to look for house sit jobs that were like really long, like 2 or 3 months, so that we wouldn't have to move around so much because the moving around really got exhausting. So we did that. And then it got to one day where I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm done. 18 months we moved around.
That's a long time.
Ever since March 2020. So, okay. So it's February of 2022 right now. We just moved to Bend in August of last year. Wow. But before that, we were just moving around constantly. And I was like, I'm done. I quit.
Enough adventure.
I surrender to the normal life. So that's kind of what brought us here. When I was in Shanghai, I was teaching, which I really do like teaching. Like I said, I think of myself as a teacher and a guide. But it got to a certain point where it wasn't really filling me. I actually had a good job. My boss was nice. There was nothing really wrong. You know, like if someone was like, well, why don't you like your job? It's like, I just don't like it. like no one's mean to me or whatever.
Yeah, just the season's done.
Yeah, I was just kind of done. And I like was so pulled towards health and fitness. And I kind of grew up around the gym. Not like I was always working out, but like I had family members who are either CrossFit instructors, personal trainers, spin teachers, Zumba teachers. Like I was just around it. So it wasn't really something unfamiliar. And I think this also carried on, like my family, maybe it's a genetic interest. We're very interested in the human body. So I was always interested in the human body and what it could do and just how it's designed and all that stuff. So I think that kind of just naturally led me into teaching people about that. So even within my line of work as a personal trainer, I don't just like give workout programs or do this workout and then that'll happen. I love to educate people. And that's something like my clients will often say to me. They're like, I love that you teach me about it because that's who I am. Like I just want to tell you about it. Like that's why I'm doing this.
Isn't this cool? Explain it and break it down.
Isn't this cool that you can do that? So that's a little bit about how I got into doing what I do. When we came
so
back,
so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
Wow. So the first thing that I really want to talk about, because it strikes me like you talk about it as if it's like something just that people do, when it's really phenomenal. The fact that you were like, yeah, I'm going to go move across, you know, the country to this foreign nation that I'm not really interested. Whatever. And we're just going to do it right now. Now, when I was younger, I'm getting up there, y'all. But when I was younger, I sort of had that sort of free spirit type of thing. And I've moved cross country 4 times in 3 years and, you know, picked up and moved different places. My husband and I got married and I moved cross states, you know, in 90 days. So like I've done the free spirit thing, But to move all the way like out of the country is phenomenally courageous. And so I want to sort of unpack that adventure season of your life, because I feel like that also sparks confidence to pursue dreams and freedom in life that you're living out today. So talk to me about how did you even hear about the opportunity? Like, I wouldn't even know how to move to another country. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think I didn't think about it. People are like, why did you decide? I was like, well, I didn't. I just did. Like, I don't know. It wasn't like a deep thought for me. I just wanted to.
Where did the opportunity come from? Yeah.
Okay. So like I said, I liked traveling, and previous to that, year before that, I had spent a couple months in South America, and I was like, wow, this traveling thing is cool. I want to do more of this. And so I went back. I worked at a coffee shop at the time. I went back and I was like saving up some money for my next trip. And I grew up in a small town. I had known for a while that I didn't want to do that anymore. And I just wanted an adventure. I was tired of life being boring. It's a great little town, just like not for a young person. Like, we want to have a little more fun. So I had a friend who had moved to Shanghai a couple years before. I shouldn't even say he was a friend at the time. We were more like acquaintances. So he had moved there. We kept in touch a little bit here and there. He's now my husband, by the way. He's more than an acquaintance now, but at the time he was an acquaintance, and we had a mutual friend. This mutual friend I worked with, and this friend went to visit Shanghai, and he was like, Estelle, it's really cool, you know, you should just go check it out. It's easy to get a job, make a good amount of money, so you can have an apartment and have a little free time. It's just like the income to cost of life ratio as a foreigner at the time. Now it's a different story, but at the time was a bit easier. So that was a suggestion. And he just said, and even if you don't want to move there, it's a really good trip. So just go try. So I thought, okay, why not? Like, I was kind of thinking about going somewhere new, and I think South Africa was on the list, but I was just kind of putting feelers out there and just like, what is working? And China just worked. And I bought my ticket, and,
did you already have a passport and everything all prepared?
I had a passport, and I knew I needed a visa. So I got a visa, and then I just went.
So what's the difference between a passport and a visa? Like, what does that mean?
So the passport is like, you need this booklet to go around the world. But some countries, depending on where you're from, the relationship between different countries, it depends on all different things. But to some places, as an American, you can just kind of go there and get your visa upon arrival. They just like stamp your book and you're like, boom, good to go. Like, it's not no questions asked, but it's like pretty much a guarantee that you can just go. It's like, you don't need to prepare anything to go there. But China, for example, you need to get approval before you get on the plane.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's just that process. It's like with some places you just go, and then they give you your visa when you get there, but China doesn't do that. Unless so I like, think they,
so like, is sorry, a visa like the permission to be in the country?
Yeah. It's permission to be in the country. So I think I had a tourist visa when I went there, and it let me stay like 30 or 60 days. I can't remember. But if you overstay your visa, that's really bad. Like, that could be prison. Like, they don't mess around. Yeah. But you're, you know, you explain when you apply, like, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing there. You show them your ticket, like, I'm leaving the country too. So like, okay. And they also have proof that you don't need more than X amount of days. You're allowed to be there X amount of days. Like, maybe they'll give you more, but that's how the visa is.
And so then how did you get to stay the 6 years? Did you apply for a different kind of visa then?
No, I went home, and I saved up some more money. And I think I went back on that same visa because it was like a re-entry visa. So I could enter again within a certain amount of time. So I saved up money, went back. And then when I got back, I found a job, and that job switched my visa to a work visa.
Gotcha.
So, and that would allow me to stay like for a year at a time or something.
Interesting. Now, it's just fascinating because I know, listeners, I know I'm not the only one that's not familiar with international travel here. I know some of y'all have not traveled. Now, some of you have, and we have also international listeners. So shout out to Chile, South Africa, UK, Australia. I'm probably missing some countries, but shout out to my listeners in those countries as well. You're much more familiar, I'm sure. But it's always great to get clarity of understanding. So I'm wondering now culturally, so, you know, you're back in China, you got your work visa now, you have a job. Culturally, at the time that you were there, because I know things are different now, is the country in general accepting of Americans? How well were you able to blend in? How did you get community? Give us a little snapshot of the love story with your husband. Like, what was the quality of life like? Because it just sounds like such an adventure. And I know that in that, like in the bigger, larger story, the details of the courage, the sort of the journey of the journey of acclimation can be sometimes uncomfortable. And the lessons you learn in that are so key that I really want to sort of draw those out for the listeners. So talk to me about that journey.
Yeah. So, okay. So snapshot with my husband. So we dated for like 3.5 years before we got married. But I actually think like this time period was so rich for us. Like we got to know each other so well because we lived in China together. We didn't live together, but we lived in China at the same time. And I think not being a local, not like being a foreigner in a country, like not speaking the language, having to learn a new culture. It's like, I had also never lived on my own before. Yeah, it was a little crazy.
All the developmental milestones.
So all of that kind of happened at once. And you're put in situations that you wouldn't really expect. And like, you're just under a bit more stress than normal. Like, I'm like paying bills and I'm having to learn how to do it in Chinese. And oh, how do I like get a taxi and talk to them and go here? And just culturally, things happen that like don't happen here. And people can get on your nerves and all this stuff. And you become resilient. You become resilient. And it also, when times like that, like when you're under pressure, your true colors show. You become who you are deep down, whether that's good or bad. I mean, I think we both have both elements within us, good and bad, but like that shows, that really shows. And so I think we were able to get to know each other more quickly because of that. Cause we're put in these situations where we're like, oh, okay, that's who you are.
That's how you respond to that sort of stimuli. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is interesting.
Yeah,
that's fascinating. And it's so true. It's almost like you took the distractions away from getting to know each other, because you didn't have family, you know, there with you. You were showing who you are because that's what you do when you're living life and just reacting and responding and living. So I think that's so interesting. And I wonder, do you think that created a really strong foundation for the relationship you have now that you're married?
I think so. I will say it's been challenging just acclimating, not just our relationship, but just life in general, to the States. Being back here is different. I think it's better. So we've been back almost 2 years now. The end of next month will make 2 years. And so it's better now, but it was so hard. Like, I want to say the first year and a half being back here, it's like I had acclimated to the culture there. So anytime we would come back to visit, or also being here long-term again now, it's hard. It's really hard.
What was challenging about it? Like what was that process? What was challenging about it?
There's some little things that I could pinpoint, but I want to say those individual things didn't make a huge difference on me, like wearing shoes in the house, like that kind of stuff. Like who cares, you know, whatever. So I was actually doing some thinking about this a while back, trying to pinpoint what is it that's so different, like feeling wise. And I actually think it's the community aspect. Life there is much more communal in some ways. So Shanghai is a massive city. There's almost 30 million people there. So yes, it's very busy. Almost 30 million. I want to say like 27 million ish. I don't know, but it's almost 30 million. And you'd think that being in a big city would make you feel very disconnected from other people. And you can do that if you want, but there are certain elements of life there that you can't deny that make you feel more connected to other people. And I think maybe it's like living in apartments or living in close quarters with other people, always being around other people, having to think about other people's space and how they're feeling and all that kind of stuff. You miss that here. And it's very easy to isolate yourself here. And I think that's the biggest thing that's hard for me. Because yeah, I will isolate myself, and it's not
well. America is very individualistic, right? I mean, that our core culture is very individualistic, and I think, you know, it's interesting because community, if you allow it to, will breed empathy, and yes, empathy breeds kindness, right? And now today, with everyone being virtual and then the individualistic, and you know, you look at the stats of mental health, and people are like screaming inside for community, which is why in the business world, you know, going virtual and having communities is sort of the trend of 2022 as we're recording this, which is fascinating because at our core, we were created to be communal beings, right? We were never created to walk this journey alone. So I think that's so fascinating that that was really highlighted between the two different cultures, you know?
Yeah. And it's interesting that you bring this up because I was actually talking about this with a friend the other day, and she, it's not really a line of work. It's just more of an interest for her. But she's learning about emotional, how do I say, like emotional, like expressing yourself clearly and knowing exactly what that is and signs of those feelings and how you know what you're feeling. And we were talking about this word awe. A-W-E, awe. And we were talking about like, when do we remember feeling this? Like what struck that feeling within us? And some things, there's lots of that you can feel awe at any time, as long as you allow yourself to feel it. But I specifically remember feeling it much more frequently when I was in Shanghai. And some things that are known to spark feelings of awe are community. And I don't think that that's a coincidence that I would feel that almost every day there.
That's like, so interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. And you were there for more than just like a vacation. So it was really something that became part of your experience, which is fascinating. You know, I was reflecting as you were saying that, I was like, when did I feel awe? Like when's the last time I felt awe? And it really has been celebrating some wins for my like personal wins. So like, you know, exercising for me has never been something that I have done consistently, but in 2022, y'all, I have been consistent since day one, and I'm so proud of myself, right? And I'm seeing results, and it does breed confidence, you know, and it does bring a sense of awe about, wow, I can do this. And like, I know for you, living abroad for 6 years and then getting married and doing it well, right? And absorbing all of those lessons and then coming back, you're a different person. It changes you. And I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, that you are more confident, more resilient, a better version of yourself now having had that experience because you were successful at it, regardless of the ups or downs of the experiences as you were going through it. But the whole totality global vision of it was, I did that. Look what I did. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah. I totally look back at like the things that stressed me out when I first moved there. Like I was 21. I just turned 21. And these little things, I thought they were huge things at the time. Little did I know I'd have to learn to live with them and get used to them. I was freaking out, like, oh my goodness, I have to deal with blah, 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 blah. And it was over and over and over again. And suddenly these things that I considered a big deal, they just became normal. And coming back here, I think learning to deal with that kind of stress in life in Shanghai, I learned how to, I don't know if it was reframing it because it was still there, but I just didn't allow it to stress me out as much as it used to. So coming back here, not knowing where we're going to live, you know, where am I going to get food? Where am I going to go grocery shopping? All these things. Whose animal am I going to take care of next so I can live in their home? These kinds of things that would come up in my mind. I just didn't care. Like, people ask me, like, well, how do you do it? And I'm like, I just do it. Like, it's, I think it's because of that, that what happened to me in Shanghai. I don't say what happened, like it was bad. It's just like my experience.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you trained me for this time.
You got comfortable being uncomfortable. And
yeah.
And then being able to celebrate that you were successful in an uncomfortable experience that then turned into comfort and joy and celebration. And, you know, it's interesting. So do you think that if 2020 and the whole pandemic did not happen, do you think you would still be in Shanghai?
It's hard to say, because exactly at that point, we were actually considering moving to Thailand. We hadn't decided. It was just a consideration. Like, you know, the pollution, the air quality isn't so great there. It's definitely improved over the years, big time, but it's still like we were desperate for nature. Like, we wanted nature so bad. And I was tired of teaching, and my husband was tired of teaching. And I think now, like, because we both work online and kind of created different lives for ourselves. So if we were to go back, if we could have a different lifestyle there, we might want to go back. But I think if we were to have stayed, we still might be in another country, but still in Asia. We wanted to stay in Asia. It's possible we would still be there. It's, but we probably wouldn't be here.
That's so
we're really happy here. I don't mean to put it down. We're happy here, but I mean,
life takes
happened.
You on different journeys, right? So if I had my, druthers, as the old people say, like, if I could choose, I probably would be living in Bend, Oregon instead of Texas right now. But guess what? I'm planted in Texas. We're building a house. We're here and I'm loving it. It's not like I'm not grateful and enjoying life, but, you know, it's interesting the path that life takes you. And when you pay attention to your emotions, to your experiences, to your opportunities, and you take the courage and implement courage to take advantage of those opportunities, it's amazing where your life can sort of lead you and unfold before you. Now, I want to transition, because you mentioned nature and Bend, Oregon. Y'all, you got to understand. So my husband and I lived in Eugene, Oregon, which is a couple hours to the east, I think, of Bend. But we drove through Bend and we were like, this is where we're going to retire. It is beautiful. You have, I mean, it is the most gorgeous place, I think, in Oregon. It is just tremendously amazing. And so I'm a little bit like, I got to go visit Estelle and her husband, because we got to go back to Bend. So being surrounded by nature is also very healing. And it's sort of like there's a different energy, right? And so talk to me about how living in Bend has contributed to your business that you're now doing. What is that business? Tell us a little bit about it. How did you transition into that? And how has living in Bend contributed to that?
So I started my business. I don't want to say like started it. I was like kind of playing around with it before we even came here, because right before COVID started here, it started in China. So, and it was also Chinese New Year, and Chinese New Year is like all of the holidays in America combined times 10.
Well, with 30 billion people, you know, or 30 million people.
I mean, like in terms of something being important, like Christmas and like all the things here, like that's in China, all of it together on one day. So there's a lot of time set aside for that holiday. So I was on vacation from work being a teacher. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to start playing around with my business idea here. And so that's kind of when I started it, around then. And then, you know, I wasn't able to go back to work. And then we came back here. And I was like, well, I better get serious with my business. Because we didn't want to commit to living anywhere here. We were going to travel around. So I was like, okay, this is it. This is it. I have to do this. So that's kind of how I got started with it. I think being in Bend has contributed to me building my business because I can have more stability, because I've been trying to build my business while like living on the road, while moving everywhere. And that I've done it, but it's been really hard. It's been insane. And I'm sure I would have been able to see more progress, been able to help more people if I had more stability within my own life. So it's definitely been nice being here. The nature is amazing. It's like so calming. Like I opened all my windows yesterday just so I could smell the air. I was like,
it really does smell different though. It really does.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of a tree it is outside. It might be like juniper or something, but oh my goodness, it smells so good. I want to smell it all day, every day. Like it smells like a spa, like a luxurious spa outside. Anyways, so that's been really nice. The business that I do, so I do online personal training, life coaching. I haven't really developed like a life coaching offer per se, but those two really go hand in hand. And the reason I decided to become a life coach is because I found myself almost trying to life coach people while we were personal training. And I was like, okay, you should just let each thing be its own, Estelle. Like sometimes people want that and that's good, but like sometimes people just want personal training. So that's what I do.
Talk to me more about this personal training. So your own personal fitness journey. I know you said, you know, you have family members that are in it and you sort of, you know, you were teaching and it's sort of been a part of your life. When did you dive deep? And then talk to me about this lifting thing, because I watched the video on the reel that you did on Instagram. And I was like, this chick is bad. Look at her. She is lifting like hundreds of pounds of weights and it looks so easy. And she's a little thing. Like, go to her Instagram, click the link in the show notes, y'all. Cause she's like this little thing, and you're like, wow, look at her. So talk to me about your own personal journey of strength and confidence through fitness and especially weight training, because a lot of women don't weight train.
Yeah. So I want to say, like I said, I had friends who were like fitness instructors. I'd go to their classes, but I would go to the gym, and I was overweight as a teenager and I felt insecure because of that. So I was always trying to lose weight. I was like always on a cleanse, always on a diet. And I would go to the gym, but I was too afraid to use the weights. So I just go to the treadmill, which is a great starting point for some people. That can be a nice introduction to the gym. Like I would never tell someone like, no, you need to gain confidence and you're going to go lift weights now. Like that's horrible. Like it's traumatic. Like I don't want to do that. So that's what I did. I just started out on the treadmill and I was able to like see people. I think I hired a trainer at one point and he kind of like showed me how to use different equipment in the gym. And I started using some machines and I think I would do like bicep curls with the dumbbells, like nothing crazy. You know, if I saw a barbell, no, I was not going near that. My mom became a CrossFit instructor. And so I would go to the gym where she taught. And that kind of introduced me to more like Olympic lifting, which I don't really practice. But it was an introduction to that. And I definitely got more familiar with a barbell, but I was still afraid to use it without someone watching me, because with CrossFit classes, there's always someone there like coaching you through something. So I was afraid to use a barbell without a coach. Post that, I didn't really I wouldn't say I did weight lifting after that. I would still exercise. I'd go running. I'd do some Pinterest workouts. I'd do an exercise video, something like that. I moved to Shanghai. I'm kind of giving like a very vague timeline here. I don't really know where the timing of these things happened, but I knew it happened in this order. I moved to Shanghai. I tried to be regular with exercise. It didn't happen because I was so stressed out. Totally did not work out for like over a year. Was super, super sick. I gained a bit of weight back. I wasn't confident. And by the way, I don't mean to come across as like, I'm not a weight loss coach at all. I'm very pro, however anyone is comfortable, but that's just what was happening with me mentally at the time. So I was not confident in my body. I was also just sick. I was not healthy. I was having health issues like I hadn't had before. So I decided to go full blown all the way in. It started out with just some workout videos that I would do every day at home. And then I was like, I really like this whole fitness thing. I'm becoming more confident. I just like the way I feel. So I started studying to become a personal trainer at that time. Then I started going to the gym, lifting weights, lifting a bit heavier, using a barbell consistently. And I had so much fun. It was so much fun. It was really like a hobby, but it took a turn where I actually don't think I was exercising too much. It's just that life there is very active. Like, you're riding your bike, you're walking, you're going to the metro, you're standing. I was a teacher, always moving around with kids in kindergarten. And then I go and I do like some crazy 2-hour workout, you know, with some heavy weights. Like, it's a bit much, you know, and it's a bit much for how much I was allowing myself to eat, because I really wanted to keep losing weight. I won't lie, I definitely had some kind of disorder going on. I lost my period. My hair was falling out. Like, I went totally the opposite direction with everything that was going on. And that was kind of a wake-up call for me, where I was like, I was at my thinnest. I was like the same weight that I was when I was like 10 years old. And I was like, I need to lose more weight. That's what was going on in my head. I shouldn't say I thought I needed to. I always thought I could afford to lose 5 more pounds. This was the thought in my mind. And I see this happening with women, no matter their size. You know, right. This isn't something that happens in our brain, depending on what we look like. It's just something that happens in our brain, period. So after that, I did work with a professional to like settle some issues with my health, but it really made me the coach that I am today, because I've been on both ends. I've like been in both positions. And I eat way more food now. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, it's so interesting, because I have my own journey as well. And this year I started working with a specialist, an actual MD specialist. He told me to go to Olive Garden, eat all the pastas. And I was like, I'm not doing that, you know, but his point was, you need to eat, right? Cause I was an under eater. Cause as women, we get into this disordered thinking, and then we're no longer choosing the thoughts. We're just, you know, allowing them to impact our choices. And so I was like, okay, I'm going to trust you, doctor. I'm going to follow the program. And I have to say, I've been eating more this year than I ever have. And I had to force myself to eat. Cause I never used to eat in the morning, and I had to actually like force myself to eat. And I was eating breads and pasta and all the carbs and all the things. And when I had my check-in, you know, we looked at the stats, and he's like, I want you to take this away from our conversation. You were eating more in the time period that since I last saw you, and you lost 5 pounds. Eat more, lose weight. You're healthier because your metabolism is healing. And I was like, it finally clicked, right? Because sometimes we listen to people who don't know what they're talking about. They haven't studied, they haven't gotten the information, and they haven't lived it for themselves. And we get these disordered thoughts, right? And so I love that you were able to have, like you said, both sides of the spectrum. You were able to experience what some of your clients probably come with, right? So that you can have the empathy and relate to them, and then say, hey, but come on this side, because health and healing is so much better for you. And guess what? You can eat, and you can still look the way that you choose and the way that you want to look. And it's so powerful. So the work you do is so important. I just love that. But how did you start with the actual like lifting?
Yeah, I just started kind of like how I just moved to China.
Let's just do it one day.
Yeah, I think my personality is I'm very confident. I'm not afraid of many things. I'm determined. I'm a go-getter. And I think because I already had some exposure to that before, that took away another element of apprehension. So I just kind of went in there, and I had a program. So I did purchase a program from a personal trainer. So I knew like, and it had like little demonstrations of how to do the things. And it was very simple. Like, I think it was like 5 or 6 exercises per workout 4 days a week. And that's what I started with. And it took me a little bit more time. When I first started, I would like watch, okay, am I doing this right? Da, 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 da. I would video myself. I would see, okay, how can I improve? I wasn't always right, but that was my starting point. And I think from there, because after that was when I started studying to be a personal trainer. So I gained a little bit more experience from then on. which also gave me confidence. But also having a community, like talking with people in the gym, watching them like, hey, can you help me with this? That was really helpful. I think that's how I got started. And in full transparency, I don't want to share this with people who are like not genetically strong to discourage them, like, oh, you can't be strong, because that's not what I want to do. Anyone can be strong, but I do have genetics to be really strong. So I'll say that there, like when you see me lifting on my Instagram, yes, I have put in years of practice to do that, years of consistency, not just like randomness. It's like I follow strategic programs to make this happen, but I also am genetically strong.
Which I think is key, because what strikes me about you, Estelle, is that you've got self-awareness, which many people don't have, right? Of any and all ages. So self-awareness is key. And you also have courage and confidence and community. Those are the things that are really striking me about our conversation and just about your journey of life experience. And I think it's so powerful. And listeners, you know, think about this. Where are you on your self-awareness journey to know that you are able to do such and such based on who you are? Not comparing, because comparing is a killer. No two people are the same, and no two people have the same body, gifts, genetics, the whole thing. But we all can be strong in our own way. We all can be courageous in our own way, and we can all be confident in our own way, right? And then when we come together as community, oh my gosh, what fun we can have in this life experience. And I just love that about you, Estelle, because for me, at least, what I'm getting is that that's what you promote with your clients, with your impact in the world. And I just think it's such a wonderful, beautiful thing. So thank you for having the courage to follow your journey and do the things and walk through the hard times and coming out on the other side to give so much empowerment to the women that you work with, and really to anyone who comes in contact with you. I think it's just so powerful. So I can really go on forever talking to you, because I think your story is so fascinating. And of course, the whole Bend, Oregon thing, right? And listeners, I know you're just like fascinated, and you're like, I can hear more too. However, I'm not Joe Rogan, so we don't go on for hours. So I'm thinking, like, what do you really want people to walk away from our conversation remembering, knowing, highlighting from all the things that we've chatted about? And we've chatted about a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. So I think first thing, if you're listening and you're like, wow, that's a lot of cool stuff she's done, or I'm not trying to be like full of myself or anything, but I do think like those are some cool things that I've done. If you want to do that, or like you have these visions of your mind of how your life could look or things that you want to do, there's always a starting point, and you have to get that mapped out. But also just being open and not forcing things. Like if you have to force it, it's probably not a good time, but just being open, putting feelers out there, what feels good, what's working. Cause that's literally all I do in life. I'm actually a very forceful person by nature. I just like, this is what I want. Like I'm going to make it happen, but it never works when I do that. I have to go with the flow and create myself to be ready for any opportunity. And I think when you do that, these magical things can happen. So there's that.
I love that. Hold on. I got to marinate in that, because I love that. So paying attention to what's going on in your life and being open to the opportunities that you can then implement courage to take advantage of. I love that. Oh, that was really good. Listeners, I hope you caught that. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So on a totally different note, I'm going to switch over to like the fitness stuff now. If you are listening to this and you're like, lifting weights seems really cool, but I'm intimidated, I don't know where to start. If you want to go to the gym, just go to the treadmill. Do something that you are comfortable with. I've been talking about this a lot with my community on Instagram lately, just trying to share some tips to make people feel comfortable, because I honestly, like in my heart, believe that the gym is such a cool place, but I also totally empathize with the feeling of being intimidated. Keep in mind, people who exercise are happy. and they're nice usually. So if you go in there and you're like, as I would have felt, as I was like, oh, I'm not welcome here. I'm not an athlete. I'm not a bodybuilder, whatever. They're just happier there. You know, a lot of people, like, there's always going to be unhappy people in the world, whether you're in the gym or outside of the gym. So in the gym, there's going to be a higher concentration of happy people that want you there. So start with something you're comfortable with. Pick up one set of dumbbells and do your workout with that one set of dumbbells. Go to the treadmill, walk on the treadmill, and just observe what other people are doing. You don't have to make it this big, full blown, I'm going to throw a barbell in the air kind of move. Do something you're comfortable and with in that environment and start small. Like you would with anything else in life, you're going to start small and you're going to work your way up. So try to break it down into small digestible things and take it slow.
Oh, I love that. And it's still paying attention, right? Starting small, because when you take one, and listeners, you know, I'm getting at my little thing here. When you take one step, guess what? The next step is a little bit easier. And then you'll find yourself walking, then running, and then achieving everything you want to in life. I just love that. Oh, Estelle, this has been such a great conversation. If the listeners are like, I'm really resonating with this girl, I want to learn more, I want to join her community, I want to, like, I love her approach, how can people find you? Where can they connect with you?
So the best place to connect with me is on Instagram. My handle, I think you've linked it, but it's Estelle C Fitness, my name, the letter C and fitness. That's going to be the best way. You can also send me an email, EstelleCFitness@gmail.com. From there, so from my Instagram, you're going to see all different ways that you can connect with me. Send me a DM. I'd love to chat with you. You can just stalk me. I don't care. Whatever you're comfortable with. I do have a Facebook community that you can join from my Instagram. Go to the link in my bio and you'll see all the different things there and you'll get what you want.
I love it. I love it. Go to the Instagram, hit up the DMs, click the link, and connect. I just think it's so amazing. Estelle, I'm so glad we were able to coordinate this conversation. And thank you for sharing, because I think that you really brought some real key principles to living an adventurous life successfully. And so many of us in life, especially nowadays when it's like, oh, I'm stuck in the house. Well, now we're getting out a little bit, but like, where do you find adventure? And you can find adventure in your living room with the YouTube videos starting out. Then you can branch out to the gym. Then you can branch out to, you know, maybe a trip across the country once we can travel more freely and all of the things. So I just love that, because the core principles of resilience and community and courage and paying attention and self-awareness, all of the things we talked about today, really contribute to a successful life that can be filled with adventure if you are open to the opportunities and the possibilities as you have been. So I just love that. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. It really means a lot.
And listeners, as I always say, keep walking. Always, always keep walking. Never stop walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination, and what an impact you can have and what fun you can have on the journey. So always keep walking. And I encourage you on the journey to always, always choose gratitude. As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab.
on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. How you know, man?